Striking doctors are refusing to return to the hospitals despite repeated government warnings of legal action. Members of the Korean Medical Association staged large-scale rallies on Sunday protesting against what they called a unilateral expansion of medical school quota. The presidential office, however, doubled down on its stance to add 2,000 more doctors each year. South Korea and the U.S. will kick off their annual Freedom Shield exercise today. It will focus on conducting multi-domain operations across land, sea, air, and cyber and space assets to boost their combined defensive postures against North Korea's escalating threats. Nearly 50 joint outdoor maneuver drills are planned, which is more than double of last year. South Korea's first military spy satellite has successfully transmitted good resolution images of central Pyongyang, where leader Kim Jong-un's office is located. That's according to Yonhap News Agency citing military sources. Officials expect the satellite to send home higher resolution images soon, enhancing South Korea's independent monitoring of North Korean activities. South Korea's household debt decreased at the world's second fastest pace last year. The sharp fall came amid persisting high interest rates, sluggish real estate transactions, and lending regulations. But Korea still showed the highest household debt to GDP ratio among major economies, according to the Institute of International Finance. Around 67% of domestic firms plan to hire new employees this year. According to the Korea Enterprises Federation, more companies showed a strong preference for experienced workers and cited job experience as a most important evaluation factor when hiring. One of China's biggest political events, the two sessions, will kick off today with thousands of delegates gathering to discuss the country's future policy directions. Key watch points include China's growth target for this year, appointment of a new foreign minister, and measures to tackle demographic challenges.
News and information in and out of Korea.
Arirang Radio.
We are now 5.5 weeks out until South Korea's National Assembly election that will determine which party controls the legislative body. To say that the political climate has been contentious and divisive is probably an understatement. While breakaway factions between major parties and third parties have a significant impact on the upcoming elections, how will President Yoon's remaining term be defined? Some of the questions to answer. Now for an overview of what has happened so far, we're now joined by Professor Kim Byung-ju of the Hankuk University of Foreign Studies. Good morning, Professor Kim.
Good morning.
Hope you're well rested. This is a lot to cover.
Yeah, well resting, I'm not sure, but yes, let's do our best. Covering the wide scope of discussion today.
All right. Let's begin with Democratic Party's nomination process that has caused much noise so far. How should we understand what has been happening so far, Professor Kim?
Democratic Party has been the focus of observation, debate, excitement, and disappointment, in recent weeks in terms of our political schedule going into general election. What we mean by that is, according to the supporters of the party leader Lee Jae-myung, they see, in Korean expression, change of waters, changing the guards and replacing the old politicians and presenting people with new faces, basically, new faces that will get the party ready for the new era. New ideas, new faces, kind of refreshing the whole front lines to be presented to the people so that they can choose. That has been the main idea, I suppose, presented by party leader Lee Jae-myung and his supporters. However, though, on the other side of the debate, critics of Lee Jae-myung you know, the traditional, many of them traditional supporters of the Democratic Party, they say this is the process of consolidating personal power in the party.
Mm-hmm.
And they present this number. The current party leadership, you know, those people who are filling up the Supreme Council and the high level of party positions, which I guess have been filled with Lee Jae-myung loyalists over time since the presidential election 2 years ago. Since then, you know, party leader Lee Jae-myung has been successful in filling those positions with his loyalists. And they're saying these high level officials, party officials, they're saying out of 23, 21 actually got nomination for this, you know, general election, which means these party nominations for different districts, they're quickly being filled by Lee Jae-myung loyalists. The critics of Lee Jae-myung are arguing at this point. And they're going further saying that this is being done in order to protect the party leader from the future further additional legal proceedings where he may have to charge, and you know, the judiciary may have to act. And in that case, they want to make sure, critics say, Lee Jae-myung and his supporters want to make sure that President, party leader Lee will be protected by his loyalists who are, who will be the new lawmakers from the Democratic Party. So this is a serious fight. And some of them also see the fight between the Lee faction, Lee Jae-myung loyalist, and the Moon faction, President, previous President Moon Jae-in. And the Moon faction represents kind of like a Nomuyen group, the new generation at that time 20 years ago who rose to power from the student generation, student movement generations. And so those pro-Moon faction are largely being set aside, they argue. And so this is kind of like generational change from Lee loyalist perspective and Moon's perspective. From Moon faction's perspective, this is a power struggle to sideline them altogether. So there has been much noise. From normal, kind of ordinary citizens' perspective, we see Democratic Party embroiled in controversy, internal debate, division, and lots of chaos, chaotic fights inside. And that's what I guess we see as a you know, non-party affiliated kind of central voters observe the overall the process.
And we'll get to maybe the breakaway factions from the DP, I think, namely Inakyeon and Im Jong-seok. But before that, let's also turn to the PPP's nomination process. On the other hand, that shows kind of a polar opposite approach compared to the DP. How should we understand this context?
The People Power Party supporters, they see, oh, this is much stable, kind of calm, and kind of you know, confidence is being built on their side. Looks like they're going to be doing well in the general election, because unlike the Democratic Party, PPP is doing quite well in terms of nominating their candidates for districts without much noise, very calm process. The party leadership is showing very stable, you know, a sense of direction. They're saying things are going well for PPP, the supporters argue. However, from the other side, the critics of PPP say this isn't good because the old faces, unlike Democratic Party, old faces are all getting, you know, getting their nominations. They're saying among those lawmakers from PPP who have gone through more than three terms, you know, the old timers who have served more three times or more of their terms, most of them got their nomination except one, they say. And so this is really total polar opposite case. While Democratic Party is being criticized for excessively dramatically changing their faces, PPP is being criticized for doing the opposite, keeping old faces, too many of the faces, and not presenting new faces here. And of course, right at this point, PPP sounds more stable and calm, but I would argue, and many would argue, many observers would argue, that's because they went through a turmoil before, way ahead of Democratic Party, right?
Right.
We remember the all this noise involving Lee Jun-suk, former party leader, who many believed, and he himself believed, that he represented young male voters, and he parted. He departed from the party, and he's working. He's had set up a separate, you know, party. And so the noise factor was kind of removed, if you will, overall early on, and that's why it's all quiet. And critics are saying the current party leader Han Dong-hoon is being viewed as Yoon loyalist, someone who has been close to the President Yoon throughout his life, throughout his career. And if he somehow doesn't do well during the general election, there will be a big damage, political damage to President himself as well. So right now, the calm that we see is something that's kind of onerous and scary in a way for possible, you know, the derailment of the overall political strategy that PPP is projecting at this point. So either side, you know, Democratic Party or People Power Party, I don't think there's assurance that any party is going into the right direction at the moment.
Okay, Professor Kim, then based on your expertise, how do we best describe the public reaction to these two parties' divergent directions so far?
Right. If we want to talk about like polls, I suppose, according to our broadcasting regulation, we have to mention all the specific numbers and everything. So let's not take that trouble in this early morning program. But overall, many would agree that overall, talking about different, we have so many different kind of polls, but in general, I guess media reports agree that, you know, the support for PPP is increasing and then support for DP is decreasing in recent weeks. I think that's the general concession, you know, general belief here. And obviously the party that's making excessive noise will definitely lose confidence among its supporters, and the party that's seemingly, you know, smoothly sailing through the process will solidify its support. Of course, there's no surprise for that. The thing is, however, in my mind, though, in Korea, the voters are notorious or infamous or famous and well-known, either way, however you describe it. Yes, yes, however you frame it, we have a very strong tradition of so-called balancing. So if I'm Han Dong-hoon, the current party leader of the PPP, People Power Party, I would be nervous if media reports saying, well, PPP, things are going well for that party, and DP is in trouble. I think Korean voters have their tendency to support the party that seems to be on the defensive on their election. So this is one of the traditions. Of course, that's not 100% at all. So so if I were the party leader of PPP, I would project the image of my party being on defensive, you know, needing greater support from the people. And that's a way of dealing with, I guess, election strategy. And let's see how, you know, despite what the polls seem to be presenting, how election will turn out. We'll have to wait and see on that one. And clearly the strategies on each party in dealing with this overall public sentiment would be rather clear based on this long-time tradition, I think.
And one might argue 5.5 weeks is a long time to go in an election year. Now let's talk about the third parties. For a fleeting moment, there seems to be high hopes for a third party, even coalition, with a short-lived big tent party. Namely, what comes to mind is between Lee Jun-suk and Lee Nak-yeon. But that's not the only example out there. So what about the emergence of these new third parties? Do we witness strong public support for them?
Right. There was a considerable excitement because, let's say, about a week, 2 weeks ago, really, and then even these at this time as we speak, people dislike of, you know, they say general voters just dislike either party, DPP or PPP.
DP.
They just don't like DP or PPP. They just don't like either party. And there's a huge centrist voters who cannot decide make up their mind in terms of which party they should vote for. And for them, the possible rise of the third party was a great excitement, especially when Lee Jun-suk, the defector from PPP, is joining with Lee Nak-yeon, defector from DP. They thought there could be a chance for the third choice. But as you mentioned, how long did it take? 11 days?
11 days, yeah.
Mm. For it to fall apart. Mm. And so many skeptics, those people who tend to see things in a skeptical way, saying, see, we were right. We were telling you that this is not going to go on. And so great disappointment on that side. So now many eyes are watching what Lee Jun-suk will do in terms of his new party, supposedly focusing on conservative young male, perhaps, voters. You know, people are looking, those people who are looking for some alternative away from the traditional conservative party, PPP. How they're going to strengthen his position is something closely watched. And then Lee Nak-yeon, defector from DP, traditional DP face in a way, and how, as these faces are being set aside, how he will form his power base for a new party will be something that's strongly closely watched. And there is also Jo-guk factor, the former justice minister, and how he's seemingly, relatively speaking, more radically progressive, you know, political force, how he's going to, his party is going to sail through the process. That's also very closely watched at this point. But the, for now, you know, the fact is, to repeat the obvious point, Korea seems to have a very large, the centrist voters who are not firmly loyalist to either party, and who is going to actually attract these votes. That's going to be the critical factor in terms of winning or doing well in the general election in April.
All right. So which way will the quiet centrist voters go? So we have about 5.5 weeks until the April 10th election. I know you can't foresee the future, Professor Kim, but what do you see ahead, at least based on what you know?
Yeah. To touch upon some of the obvious but important points here is that, you know, we are living in this day and age of polarizing politics. Every time we see news headlines, we read headlines about political fights, you know, really intensive, kind of fierce political fights. And in doing so, in reading these headlines, we often forget what the role of politics is, why politics exists. You know, if you ask, if you ask my dad, for instance, who is in his early 90s, he would say politics exists only because to give people headaches.
He's lived long life and he's allowed to say that.
Right. He says, there's nothing good about politics. The thing is, his son studies politics and I argue that that's not the case. Politics exists because we want to resolve our collective issues and problems. Politics is all about collective action, collective problem solving. Economics is about individual maximizing his or her own profits through market mechanism that creates greatest good. Politics is about getting together and discussing what we are going to do as a collective, as a community. And in doing so, who will sometimes sacrifice his or her own personal interests for the greater goods, and why it's a good idea to do so. And so that's why politics exists, because we have to survive together as a community, as a nation, right? Yeah. If country is falling apart, no matter how well you're doing, you cannot do well individually. Look at troubled quarters in corners around the world. If your country gets into trouble, you cannot do well. So we have to care about our national community, and that's what we do in politics. So let's not forget, we should not forget, in electing our representatives, we're building our ways to deal with collective issues, such as, let's say, tax. Should we pay more tax or less tax? What do we do about redistribution? Should we give those people in the lower income level, you know, more redistribution, or should we not? About labor, should we strengthen labor protection, or should we strengthen market instead. Environment, are we going too far in protecting environment, or should we go actually more for protecting environment even more? And what do we do about pension reform when we have this demographic crisis? What do we do about the demographic crisis as a whole? What are the best ways to deal with it? All these questions, that's what we have to deal with these lawmakers, representatives we are electing in April. So we have to, the general voters have to go over and beyond these political fights. Political fights sell well in terms of media revenue, right?
Yes. when it generates hits.
yes. When media generates more hits, they make money. So that's what media outlets do. But you know, voters have to go over and beyond and try to understand these issues. For example, like districting, you know, the politicians this time agreed on, you know, districting, finalizing the electoral districts 41 days before the election. They're required to do so 1 day, 1 year before. They violated law, and they greatly violated law because they could not agree on the final solution. But districting is really important because in the United States, they failed big time. They only did give and take, and they, by agreeing on gerrymandering and this kind of politically calculated districting, what happened in the United States was they ended up this politics that's evenly divided 50 and 50, Democrats and then Republicans. It's all result of political give and take. We shouldn't do that here in Korea, and we should find better ways to actually truly elect our representatives based on public support and sentiments. That's just one example. So, so we just have to be reminded this is more than something that's much more important than just political fights. And so hopefully that's the result will reflect there's such awareness of the people here, because final line here is that it's democracy is just as smart as its people. So that's something we have to keep in mind.
Absolutely. In an increasingly polarizing political environment, focus on issues that matter to you and become a smarter voter.
Right, exactly.
Thank you so much, Professor Kim. We appreciate it. We'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.